You're listening to I'm Right, Deal With It with Andy Parrish.
Oh man, one more week. 1 week in this nightmare of Harris Biden, their regime comes to an end. Hey folks, I'm Andy Parrish. I'm right. Deal with it. If you agree with me, you're right too. I'm going to walk you through the Electoral College today, and I'm going to walk you through the path to victory for both candidates, for both Harris and Trump. It's not looking good for Harris, folks. No matter what the media wants to tell you, it's not looking good. Make sure you go vote. If you haven't voted, go vote early. Go vote in person. Hand your ballot to somebody. Get your little ticket receipt for it. Don't use a drop box. Remember, I said drop boxes are stupid. They're stupid. Don't use drop boxes. They're very dumb. They're more stupid than silent letters. And I can't tell you how much I hate silent letters. They're awful. See a silent letter and a big word, and it's already a big word, and it throws me off. And I'm like, but there's a T that, you know, stop it with the silent letters. They don't matter. Stupid. Just like drop boxes are. Don't believe me? Go look out in Washington, Oregon. Some of them caught on fire. Obviously, somebody lit them on fire, but hundreds of ballots were lost. They're just dumb. So vote in person, okay? So now I want to talk to you a little bit about the Electoral College, the makeup of it, some terminology that we use, and why Trump has many, many paths to victory, and why Harris has literally one path. That's it. She has a very long road to go if she wants to win. So I want to just briefly, the Electoral College has done like this. For every member of Congress, for every U.S. Senator, that's one electoral vote. That's 535. You add in Washington, D.C., they get three electoral votes, which is also stupid because they're not a state. The whole point of moving the federal government to Washington, D.C., remember the soldiers stormed Capitol in Pennsylvania. We tried to call the National Guard. They wanted their payments. Tried to call the governor to bring in the National Guard. The governor wouldn't do it. So then the federal government said, hey, you know what? We need our own land. So they amended the Constitution. They said, hey, we're going to have this area no more than 10 miles square. We'll call it Washington, D.C. There you go. The whole point was so that they would have no influence over what the federal government did and they could govern themselves. Anyway, but then you get to 538 electoral votes and you need 270 to become the next president of the United States. When you take out the reliably red and the reliably blue states after redistricting, Trump will start the night with 262 electoral votes. Harris will start with 232. This is assuming, of course, that Harris holds Minnesota, which is part of the blue wall, which she will, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And it also assumes that Trump holds the core four, which he doesn't even need to hold the core four. In fact, we could change that now, but we're not going to. But the core four of the states that Republicans need are Iowa, Ohio, North Carolina, and Florida. That gives us a chance at winning the presidency, assuming we can crack the blue wall somewhere. The blue wall consists of four states that Democrats have to have if they want to win. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Under the scenario I'm reading out to you right now, I don't see Trump losing any of the core four. Any of the surveys I've looked at, I don't see it. He could still lose one and win. There's still plenty of pathways for him there. Couldn't lose two. Could not lose two, but he could lose one of those and still win. Harris has to win the entire blue wall, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. So if we just assume that Trump holds the core four, and the reliably red states like Texas, Tennessee, Alabama, Wyoming, Alaska, Utah. Again, reliably red states. Harris holds reliably blue states like New York, Delaware, New Hampshire. Let's just say those reliably blue, Massachusetts, those reliably blue states, she holds those. Comes down to three states then. These three states in 2016 and 2020 were all decided by less than 1%. All three of these states in the last two elections have voted for the Republican and voted for the Democrat. These are tough states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. I know people are saying, hey, Andy, well, what do you think about Nevada? Are you already counting that blue? Yeah, I don't. Nevada doesn't matter. Nevada's six electoral votes. Okay, fine. I give them to Trump. Whatever. He's still at 268. It would only matter then if Trump won, Nebraska too, which we'll talk about later, but Nebraska and Maine allocate their electoral votes by popular vote winner in the congressional district and by popular vote winner statewide. That's how they do it. They split them up. They like to make it fun. So Trump path one, hold the core four, which he will. He will. Those are reliably read now. And win Pennsylvania. It's over. Trump wins Pennsylvania on election night. It is over.
Over. Pennsylvania is all in the Eastern time zone. They will be closed by, I think, 7 o'clock Central time. We will know what kind of night we're in for. If Trump jumps out to a giant lead, depending on when Philadelphia comes in. But if Trump jumps out to a giant lead, it's going to be over. If Pennsylvania gets called, the night is over. Trump wins. The nightmare of Biden-Harris is over. But let's assume that Trump, for some reason, does not win Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania has a unique electoral history. One of the original colonies of this nation, they have never once elected a woman statewide. Now, I'm not saying that there's some type of sexist state and that they couldn't buck that trend. Women have run statewide and they have all lost.
Kind of a coincidence, I guess. But if Trump wins, Pennsylvania over. But let's assume Harris wins. If Harris wins Pennsylvania, she still doesn't get the 270 electoral votes. She's about 25 short. Guess where she needs to go next? Michigan. She needs to win Michigan. Again, all in the Eastern time zone. So we'll have a pretty good idea of where we're coming at with that. Michigan is going to be a lot closer than most people think. I personally believe that Harris is going to win Michigan. I believe Harris is going to win Michigan. That's going to be the one state she holds on to. But it doesn't matter. Because Trump won Pennsylvania before Michigan, it's over. All right, but let's just assume that Harris wins Pennsylvania. She wins Michigan. Then she comes to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes. She wins those. She is the president. But she has to win Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Has to win them. Now, somebody said to me earlier, well, what about Nevada? Isn't Nevada turning red? Don't care. It's 6 electoral votes. I do care. But the only reason I care is because there is a pathway, again, a fourth pathway to the presidency for Trump. And that is winning Nevada and winning Nebraska 2. So Nebraska allocates 2 to the statewide winner. 1 per congressional district, 3 congressional districts, total of 5 votes. I already have Trump winning 4 of them, but if Trump wins Nebraska 2 and wins Nevada, it's over. The election is over. That's 7 electoral votes. That gets Trump to 269, which means that if Harris wins Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, she ends up with 269. See why Nebraska 2 is so important to Harris right now? She wins Nebraska 2, and she wins all 3 states. She's the president. Not going to happen. Nebraska 2 is the Omaha area. Don Bacon is in a tough re-election fight there. Don Bacon needs to win. That's 4 pathways for Trump to become the president of the United States. See, at 269, 269, it goes to the House of Representatives. The Republicans hold the majority of the House of Representatives right now. They would need to force a vote on who is the next president, vice president of these United States. That's how they would do it. Could be a fight. Could be, but that's 4 pathways for Trump now to win. Harris has 1. So my prediction on election night, as I said earlier, I'm going to give Harris Michigan. I'm going to have Nebraska 2 go Harris. I'm going to have Nevada go Harris. Trump ends up with 291 electoral votes. Harris ends up with 247. Her pathway is not there. I mean, let's assume she wins North Carolina or Ohio for that matter. If Trump still, that's if she wins Ohio, which is 17, wins North Carolina, which is 16, that would be 33 electoral votes, gets Harris to 265. Trump still can win as long as he picks up Florida and as long as he picks up Pennsylvania. It is going to be very difficult for Harris to find a pathway to win. to think that she has to win all three states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Trump only has to win one. Let's assume she wins all three states, but Trump wins Nevada and Nebraska too, 269, 269. Trump becomes the next president of these United States. It's going to be tough for him. I've said from the beginning, Harris is there to save the Senate and to take the House. And let me go on to the Senate for you now. The current makeup of the Senate is 48 Democrats, three independents that are all Democrats, but and they even caucus with them. So that gives them 51 votes, and the GOP has 49. West Virginia is an open seat held by a Democrat right now. West Virginia is a solid red state. We are now at 50 seats in the Senate. Trump becomes president. J.D. Vance breaks the tie. Bam, we have the majority. There's also a solid chance we can pick up Montana, and I know Montana
should be an easy win, but you've got Senator Tester there who's been there a long time, and he's good at shaking hands, and he's well-known. He's the incumbent, so I'm not going to necessarily throw Montana into the GOP column yet. I want to. Can't do it yet, though, so I'm sitting at 50-50. But then let's go on to the Michigan seat. Mike Rogers, it's an open seat, which means there's no incumbent. Mike Rogers is running. He was former House member, House of Representatives member. He was the chairman on the Permanent Select Committee on House Intelligence. Smart guy. Got a chance to win that statewide, but I think Michigan's going to be tough. Now let's go to Ohio. Sherrod Brown is going to lose. Marino is going to win. That is going to get us to 52-48. And then we go to Wisconsin, where Tammy Baldwin is facing a tough re-election fight. I think she's going to eke it out. She's been in Wisconsin for forever in a day. She was in the state legislature and then obviously the U.S. Senate. She has been around forever. I think Baldwin's going to win this one out. So my prediction is that the GOP is going to end up with 52. So we're going to win, or not electoral votes, senators. We're going to end up winning West Virginia. We're going to win Ohio. Maybe Montana gets us to 52. I have not given Montana in there yet, so I'm going to say 51-49. That's what I like, 51-49. Not so good news when we go to the House.
So the House has roughly 11 toss-ups that are held by Democrats right now. That's Alaska, statewide. Alaska does things goofily, folks. They do instant runoff voting, so you have to rank your candidates one through how many ever. The lowest person drops off, and then they keep just adding more votes on to whoever's next, right? Whoever your second choice is. If your first choice falls off, then your vote goes to your second choice. Also stupid. Don't like this instant runoff voting stuff. It's dumb. It's as dumb as a drop box, which is as dumb as a silent letter. Yeah, silent letters. You should see me in Offspring 3. We just hate silent letters. I don't know why. Roman of Galesville and I, every time we see one, we just get upset. Okay, so Dems have 11 toss-ups of all of this, which is Alaska, Maine, Washington 3, and Pennsylvania 8. Okay, in those districts, the presidential candidate, the Republican candidate, won by 8 in Alaska, won by 6 in Maine 2. In Washington, won by 5. Pennsylvania 8, won by 4. I believe we can win those. GOP has 14 toss-ups. This is not good for us. Not good. Two of them are open seats due to redistricting that the Dems are going to pick up right away. One is in Alabama. It's going to be a tough one. There's no way I think we hold that. But here's what we've got in California, 13, 22, 27, New York, 4, Pennsylvania, 10, New York, 22, Alabama, 2. I think those are all seats that the Dems are going to pick up. I think there are just too many opportunities for them to pick up seats from us. So with the current makeup and with all the other races going on in the House, I am going to say that the GOP is going to be left with 213 seats and the Democrats are going to have 222. There's one race that I'm watching closely, and that's Wisconsin 3. I think it's off everybody's radar. It's one of those kind of last ones that lean Republican. We've got an interesting dynamic here of a 36-year-old waitress running against a late 50s, early 60s white male who has had some behavior issues
since taking office, even before taking office. I don't think that Derek Van Orden is going to be able to hold this seat. I think that's going to be the shocker of the night, is that Rebecca Cook wins and pushes the Dems up to 222. That's my prediction. 222 for the Dems, 213 for the GOP. And in the Senate, we're going to have a total of
51 GOP and 49 Democrats. And Trump is going to end up with 291 electoral votes to Harris's 247. So that's my prediction, folks. And I'm giving you my rationale as to why. When you hear and you see news articles about nationwide polling, all this stuff, keep in mind, Trump was down, and according to all the polls, he was going to lose by 17% in Wisconsin. He lost by 0.7. All right, so he's up one in the new polls now. So I've got to think that they're still underpolling Trump and underestimating him. Trump's pathway, hold the four, Iowa, Ohio, North Carolina, Florida. He holds those four. It's going to be a great night, because then all he's got to do is win Pennsylvania or Michigan or Wisconsin, not all three. Harris has to win all three. The only way to 269, 269, which pundits love to talk about, oh my gosh, what would happen if we had an electoral college vote tie and blah, blah, blah. The only way to that is if Trump holds the core four, loses all three, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, but picks up Nebraska 2 and Nevada, then we can end up at 269, 269. But that's not going to happen, because you need to get out and vote early and vote right now. Vote in person. Don't use a stupid drop box. They're dumb. They're just open for fraud. Hand it to a clerk. Get a receipt. Get proof that you handed your ballot in. Go home and get ready for a great night. I'll be wearing my sneakers that night, but I won't be going out and about, but I'll be wearing my Trump sneakers. So be sure to follow me on Twitter, X, whatever it's called, at Andy Parrish. Just to summarize, election night, early, Trump wins when Pennsylvania falls. Trump ends with 291 electoral votes for the evening. Harris ends with 247. That nightmare is over. The GOP picks up two seats in the Senate. We're now 51-49. I'm predicting that we pick up West Virginia and Ohio, and that Montana stays in the Dem column. In the House, I have the final tally coming down to GOP 213, a net loss of 5, the Dems at 222. The most interesting race of the night being Wisconsin 3. I do believe that the incumbent, Derek Van Orden, is going to lose to Rebecca Cook. So there you have it, folks. We'll see if I'm right. Come back next Tuesday as we give some election analysis. I really thank you for joining me. Again, follow me on X, follow me on iTunes, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts, follow me there. Now, when you're arguing with somebody, you can say, hey, I'm me, I'm right, deal with it.
You've been listening to I'm Right, Deal With It with Andy Parrish.